According to the Human Rights Commission, one in five Australian workers over the age of 15 have experienced workplace sexual harassment over the past 5 years. We often view sexual harassment as a criminal and ethical issue, but very rarely is it viewed as a public health issue. Joining us now is Senior Research Fellow and Heart Foundation Future Leader Fellow from the University of Melbourne, Adrian O'Neill, to help us understand the connection between sexual harassment and health. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Tom.
Now, how can experiencing sexual harassment in the workplace affect someone's health?
Sure. Well, we've known for many, many decades that stress is a really powerful predictor of mental and physical health, specifically work stress. So there's been a whole lot of research over decades, really, that indicate that stress that's experienced at work can put you at risk of things like depression, anxiety, but even having a heart attack. So when we think about sexual harassment that occurs at work, if we think about it just like we would any other stressor, like bullying, for example, in the workplace, it's been linked with a whole host of health outcomes. So blood pressure, for example, elevated heart rate, cortisol responses, so that's our stress response, and poor mental health outcomes like depression, anxiety, and even in some cases, post-traumatic stress disorder. But what we also know is that the sort of stress-related effects of experiencing sexual harassment at work don't just stop when you leave work. At the end of the day, you know, there's this phenomenon called the spillover effect. So we know that people that experience sexual harassment at work, they experience poor health behaviours, for example. So they might be more prone to drinking alcohol or to use smoking as a coping mechanism. And all of these things can contribute to their risk of, say, developing a chronic disease. And, of course, it can also put pressure on our relationship at home with our loved ones, which it further compounds the negative effects.
Now, given that there's such an array of health problems associated with sexual harassment, why do you think it's not seen as a health issue?
Probably for a few reasons. I think that there's really a lack of awareness around the seriousness of sexual harassment, and sometimes I think a bit of confusion and conflation about what it is. I mean, we know it's defined, sexual harassment is defined as unwanted or unwelcome sexual behaviour, whether that's physical or verbal, which can make a person feel offended or humiliated or intimidated. So we're not talking about flirtation or a friendship of a sexual nature which is a mutual or consensual, and I think that that sort of lack of education and awareness is one reason why it's often not viewed in that way. I think there's traditionally been a bit of a sort of toughen up attitude, I suppose, and that's really been in spite of the evidence that's now becoming much clearer that there are really long lasting health effects if you've experienced sexual harassment. But also I think from a workplace health and safety point of view, the focus has really been much more on physical injury, I suppose, and not what we'd call psychosocial injury. And really it's only a small proportion of Australians that go ahead and seek, say, put in a compensation claim. So it's about 2%, I think, of all compensation claims in 1 year are related to a sexual harassment claim. So it's not that that doesn't reflect the number of cases out there. We know, as you said, that, you know, up to one in two people across their lifetime can experience sexual harassment in the workplace. But that's just that there are very few people that are willing to proceed with a claim. And I think this further masks the issue of it being a health issue.
Now, obviously, we've seen the way sexual harassment is perceived sort of transform in the public eye over the last few months. Are you hopeful that this will be maybe a new element that can be sort of seen with sexual harassment in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think obviously over the last year with movements like Me Too, for example, it has potentially remove some of the stigma around experiencing sexual harassment at work. It's sort of, I guess, created a bit of camaraderie for the millions that have experienced it across their lifetime. It's also created, a bit of a collective of cultural change for people that think, you know, for the sake of my kids or other family members, going into work every day, it shouldn't be a stressful or traumatic experience. So I think it's also a good opportunity for employers to actually sit back and assess their own backyard and think of it as providing, an appropriate workplace environment, start having discussions with their employees and leaders about stamping it out. But also I think it's really created that platform to be mindful of who is disproportionately affected by sexual harassment and bullying. And we know that it is often young workers who perhaps don't know their rights or don't feel empowered to speak up, or people of minority backgrounds that don't necessarily know what the steps are in order for taking a complaint.
Now, how are Australian workplaces currently really dealing with these issues of sexual harassment?
Yeah, well, I think that, businesses, of course, are legally required to provide both a physically and psychological safe work environment. And again, I think sometimes sexual harassment can be viewed perhaps as a bit of banter. But we know that times have changed, of course, and that we can't just laugh off or deem acceptable things in a way that perhaps we did in the past, like we do with bullying. So I think now there's a lot more focus on educating staff on what constitutes sexual harassment. And of course, for workplaces that involve the general public, like in hospitality, for example, this obviously involves educating patrons too on knowing that there's a zero tolerance approach to sexual harassment in the workplace and in these sort of public settings. Now, really promisingly for businesses that feel quite overwhelmed with how on earth do I, where do I start? There are really good resources that are publicly available from national organisations such as Our Watch or the Workplace Gender Equality Agency that have really great resources available for everyone. And most recently, there is a national organisation called Now Australia, which has been launched by Tracy Spicer, the Australian journalist, and its first activity is establishing a 1-800 hotline to be a first point of call for anyone experiencing sexual harassment, to connect them with counselling and understanding their legal options.
I'm speaking with Senior Research Fellow and Hart Foundation Future Leader Fellow from the University of Melbourne, Adrian O'Neill, about sexual harassment in the workplace and how it affects employees' health. Now, how often are workplace sexual harassment cases resolved?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, often, of course, they're not resolved because so few people feel comfortable actually making a formal complaint. So often they're not. Of course, in those instances where there is a formal grievance, whether in the workplace or at Australian Human Rights Commission level, it really does depend on how we perceive the term resolution. So our perception of a resolution may be very different for someone sitting at human resources, management, or your boss, compared to, say, the perpetrator or how the complainant feels the situation has been resolved. So there's data from the Australian Human Rights Commission which indicate that, unfortunately, up to 99% of complainants are totally dissatisfied with how their workplace handled their case. And this can be for a whole host of reasons. We know that oftentimes investigations are very, very lengthy. Sometimes the processes are really unclear. And it can drag on, and then the stress associated with the complaints process then adds to the initial stress and the health effects that the victim did experience as a part of the harassment. So as you've pointed out, Tom, the national inquiry that was announced last week by Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins and Financial Services Minister and Minister for Women Kelly O'Dwyer, they'll really be drilling down on these issues, auditing the current laws that we've got in this country around what's going on in each workplace, and they'll be making recommendations about how to improve systems.
Now, obviously, we've discussed about how the culture has changed and is hoping to change further to sort of stop sexual harassment in the workplace. But what are better ways that maybe it could be dealt with once it's arisen?
Yeah, I suppose there was a report that came out last week in the US which indicated that probably the biggest predictor of stamping out sexual harassment in the workplace is creating that zero tolerance culture. So the idea is if workplaces are presenting a zero tolerance approach and is perceived by staff as such, then it sort of has a bit of a double effect. So it acts as a deterrent for future potential perpetrators, but it also acts as a way of victims to feel confident in coming forward, or prospective victims for coming forward and feeling as if they'll be believed and supported through a fair and reasonable process. Of course, in Australia, we have some of the probably strictest defamation laws in the world when compared to, say, for example, somewhere like the US. So I think oftentimes what happens is that there's perhaps a conservative approach to responding to sexual harassment for fear of legal consequences. And of course, that has to be weighed up. But often this is at the detriment of the health and well-being of complainants along the way.
And we spoke a little bit before about Me Too and Time's Up. Do you think those movements have helped maybe change the stigma surrounding sexual harassment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the last thing we want is for these movements to be considered, a leftist movement, or a really, a women's only movement, or a specific niche movement. I mean, this is something that is affecting all of us in terms of our experiences of sexual harassment, whether at work or sort of in the public sphere. It affects, one in two women, as I said, across their lifetime will experience sexual harassment at work. So it's about having discussions with our kids about zero tolerance going into the workplace. You shouldn't be expected to put up with this. So I think it's been a really useful tool in terms of opening up the discussions and really allowing workplaces to think, or leaders in workplaces to think, what's going on in our own backyard. And it's been a fantastic, I think, platform in order to facilitate that.
Well, Adrian, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Senior Research Fellow and Heart Foundation Future Leader Fellow from the University of Melbourne, Adrian O'Neill, speaking with us about sexual harassment in the workplace and why it should also be viewed as a health issue.